What were the cars that were significant to you? I mean, what was? I mean, we talk about Cadzilla because that was near and dear to you.
It's just a seminal car.
Are you talking about cars that my dad built?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Probably Shazoom.
Shazoom.
The most memories with
the
50, that one.
The 57.
Yes.
Yeah. That was an awesome. You know, car. I got a story I've told before where you know my dad.
Tell it again.
My dad goes, hey. Because my dad was on this thing where people were going, hey, he makes Trailer Queens. My dad's like, I'm going to show them, right? So the infamous trip with Baskerville, Luma Coupe. And then my dad followed it up with, he said, hey, we're going to take the week off. We're going to drive through Zoom to Good Guys, Indy.
At Indy, okay. Yeah. So cross country.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benzie and car builder Steve Strope. And we're going to tell you the stories.
So welcome to another episode of Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith.
Why don't you start that over again?
Okay. Should we do that again? Yeah, Did I mess that up?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit? Did I slur my words? Too much enthusiasm.
No, that's
too much.
Fine. You can never have too much enthusiasm. There you go. No.
All right.
Go ahead.
You ready?
Yep.
All right. Welcome to another episode of Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith, my buddy Cam Benty. We have a special guest star. Mr. Coddington?
Yes, Chris Coddington. We're sponsored by ARP.
And well, you don't want to forget that because Excellent. I usually, sometimes I do, right?
That's right.
Our good friends at ARP-bolts.com.
Yes.
And my mother was a speech teacher, so that's why the Smith kids all enunciate very well.
That's right. Make sure the dash.
Sometimes. Yes. Yeah, we got to get the dash in there.
There you go.
All right. So should we just dive right into this thing?
Yes.
Absolutely.
But Chris, I mean, what a legendary name, Coddington.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Huge.
For
huge,
sure. Huge, so huge. A few people have heard his name.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, well, the obscure cars like Cadzilla.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Or right. Shazam or something like that. You might have heard those.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, no, we're here. We got, I picked up a truck that my dad built in 89. I picked it up last year, and it's kind of a famous truck that my dad built. And I got a call from Carpo, I don't know, maybe a few months after that, saying, hey, we're doing a special truck exhibit. And you got that truck back. We want that in the exhibit. So and here awesome. I am. I'm in Building 9. We got a booth. I got T-shirts and wheels, you know, because cool. That's primarily awesome. What I do right now is just I build custom wheels for hot rods, muscle cars, lower trucks, all the everything at the show I can put a wheel on.
But that's been going on a long time. You've been building wheels for a
for
very
sure.
long time.
So
how many years now?
Oh, man. I've been probably doing it since I was 15 years old, and I'm almost 50. So
wow.
Yeah.
So 35 years.
Yeah. Wow. So because when I became of age to start working, the wheel shop started taking off because my dad started building machining these billet wheels. And,
sure.
And so that took off. So I kind of gravitated into that, you know, funneled my way into the work, you know, into the hot rod, not the hot rod shop, but the wheel shop. And that's kind of what I did most of my life with a few exceptions, you know, a couple breaks here or there. But yeah, I've been building wheels. Yeah.
Well, and they're beautiful. I mean, I got to say, you know, your dad obviously was an amazing designer. Can I stop down for the first time I met your dad?
Yeah, go for it.
I don't want to make this about just your dad because I'm very, very interested in you.
That's why I'm here.
I understand. So. I understand. You know? But
he
I remember
really something to do with it, didn't he?
Yeah, a little bit.
But I was the editor of Car Craft. You were at Hot Rod. So we were, you know, the triumvirate there. I don't know who the third one is, but triumvirate.
We'll,
anyway,
we'll find somebody.
Sorry, Marcel. Marcel could be the third. So anyway, he was on. He was in Stanton.
Yep.
And it was one of the earlier shops. And Chip Foose, as I was to learn, was the paint guy in the back. He didn't have a shop then. This would have been like 87.
Yeah, he had a. My dad hired him to start. You know, have an in-house designer, and he was back. Yeah, he was back. You walked through the paint shop, and he was back, in there.
He was in the back.
Yeah.
But what got me was because I was always I was a huge fan of Cobras. I just love Cobras. I loved Cobras before there were any. You just had the original, so that was it. And then ERA came along, and some of that all propagated from that. But he was building from scratch a Cobra. I mean, just the whole thing from nothing. You know, the whole structure and I was completely blown away because I had never seen anybody do anything like that. I had never seen
anybody. I remember that. Yeah.
Do you remember that? Yeah. It was sitting right up front. It was like in the office kind of thing.
Yeah.
It was way up front. And I just remember going like, wow, who would do that? Well, I mean, he's the guy.
Yeah.
And from that point on, I was completely hooked. I mean, like it took about 4 seconds and then I was right in. But he took me through the whole shop and the stuff they were building. Was way beyond what anybody else was doing. I mean, just there was no comparison. He had started a whole frontier of amazingly crafted, custom designed, custom painted, unique colored custom cars.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And the rest is, you know, a legacy that you continue to propagate today. You know?
Sure.
I've used propagate twice in the same.
Okay. You can't use it again now.
I'm done. Not in the same sentence. But anyway, so there you go. But anyway, so I was, it's a pleasure to meet you in the surroundings.
Yeah, thanks. Now, were you working in the shop this whole time then at various places, or was it mostly just the wheel side?
Mostly just the wheel side. But, you know, the buildings were, I mean, connected at points, and, you know, it was, we worked together. But, I mean, yeah, my background is just the wheels.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So that's always been your passion then?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, your dad's like, hey, you need to get a job, and the wheel shop needs help. And, you know, so I got on. I mean, you know, with the wheel ends, because a lot of it was new, you know. I mean, it was really one of the first made-to-order, like, wheel companies out there, right? I mean, it was like, you know, my dad started saying, you design it, we'll build it, and that was true. So, you know, I mean, from all the different offsets and fitments we do, so I had to learn that. I mean, I've done everything at the shop except maybe do all the heavy polishing on wheels. So, I mean, I worked in the marketing department for years. I developed the first website, you know, when back in the 90s, you know, when things were, you know,
when everybody accessed the internet. Brand new.
And everybody accessed the internet through like AOL and stuff like that, right? And it was like, I remember we did the first website and it took like, I think, a minute for the page to load. We're like, yes, under a minute. You know, but it was interesting.
It was awesome. And did you have to use like the stretcher and the shrinker on the website? Kind of like to work it?
Oh, yeah. No, but
it's metal reference.
No, it was right. Actually, we used page mail.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You remember PageMail?
I do. Yeah. Absolutely, I do.
Because I remember my mom goes, hey, you know, the marketing department, my dad was like, hey, what's this website stuff? You know, we think you need a website. I go, how do we do that? So me and the other marketing guy were like, we don't know. What's this HTML?
Yeah.
So there's a program. Adobe had a program called PageMail, and it was drag and drop, and it was,
okay.
So we did the first
it
website.
It was a good place to start.
So, now, I mean, the internet, everybody, I mean, that's just the way the world's running off of that.
It takes about...
So I just worked my way through the wheel shop and...
But wheels make the car. You know, when you really get down to it, you can take a crappy car and put a good set of wheels on it, and all of a sudden, it looks pretty... It's a start.
We did a story one time where we took the same car, I think it was in Hot Rod, and we put like 9 sets of wheels on it. And it was amazing how the car just changes.
Right?
It was this. It was like a 68 Camaro, you know, what a surprise there. And and just put all these different wheels on it and how its image changed with just the wheels.
Yeah, and that's the first thing you can do, like whether you're building a car from scratch or, you know, like guys that are picking up a cool car and someone, that's the first thing, cheapest, maybe not the cheapest now with everything, but it's still one of the first things and easiest things you can do to change the look of somebody's car. Someone could have that car and... People, you know how the scene is, right? So people can identify, oh, that's such and such's car, and he's had the car for 10 years. That's such and such. You can buy such and such's car, change the wheels and the stance of it, and now it's your car.
Yeah.
Right? And it's still, you know, it could be cooler. Nah, some people ruin it. Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, but that's why the wheel industry has grown into what it is. There's, you know.
So we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP and ARP-bolts.com. And, I mean, we all three build cars. We all work on this stuff. And
I tinker.
You tinker.
I tinker.
Yes, we all build.
Yeah, and you know what? It's kind of a really cool multiple-purpose fastener for me because there's all the science and all the technology, which is bottomless, trust me. Unbelievable amount of research that they put into these things.
Sure, absolutely.
And on top of it, you get them out of the package, and they're absolutely beautiful. Which I've joked before, it's like jewelry for your car. And
when pre-oiled,
we're building when we're building a high-end car, there isn't anything else going on. It's part of the criteria for me to have them lining the engine bay, not just on the engine, everywhere.
Yeah. Right.
So you get all the strength, the durability, the reliability, and fantastic good looks.
Sure.
Kind of like Jeff here.
And without peer. Without peer.
Anybody else, you know what?
Or peer.
Without peer. There's nobody else correct. That does
that
what
is,
they do.
It is. So check them out at arp-bolts.com, and they can help you out.
Get a turnkey manual transmission conversion from American Powertrain for your muscle car, classic truck, or custom. American Powertrain offers a complete line of parts and accessories handling everything you need from the back of the block to the differential. one of the largest distributors of Tremec transmissions. American Powertrain has the parts you need to install a TKX 5-speed, Magnum T56 6-speed, or anything else you can dream up. They offer custom hydraulic clutches, cross members, bell housings, clutches, shifters, crate engines, and more. And remember, save the stick. Check out American Powertrain at AmericanPowertrain.com or call their sales line at 931-646-4836.
There's tons of companies. Yeah.
Now, is it mostly three-piece?
No, it's two-piece.
Two-piece wheels.
Most okay. Two-piece welded. It's all 60-61. And the cool part is, like, you know, the most of the stuff is all being made here.
Okay.
In the States.
Well, that's
so,
great to know.
Yeah. Yeah, the rim shells are coming out of Indiana. You know, I don't follow where all the aluminum's coming from, but all the forgings are done here in Southern California by a couple of different companies. We machine in Southern California. Yeah, so that's cool.
So for the center part, you start with a disc and then just CNC machine it?
Yeah, it starts with most of the stuff that we do is either traditionally forged, and it basically they take these slugs and they put in these forging presses, and then it forms the, you know, a basic profile, and then we lay it down from there and then mill. Okay. But yeah, and you know, now that I think about it, it's probably one of the few things in our industry that's still majority made in the United States is we call it billet wheel industry, two-piece welded industry.
Right.
You know, all these other big names are all getting all their stuff from China and overseas.
Right.
Well, you know.
Well, I mean, we used to fight the whole wheel thing. I mean, for years. I mean, my first car was a '65 Impala. You couldn't fit anything on that car, and it always rubbed. And then you'd go find some, you know, L60 whatever and stuff it in there and then try to fix the fender well rather than fix the wheel.
Yeah. Right.
And that was a losing battle. You never won.
I think to this day is that people still don't understand backspacing.
No.
Which is really the key to the whole thing, right?
Yeah,
right.
And we for sure. And we make it easy for people. It's funny because I get people that come locally and they want me to measure their car and they get real, oh, are you sure? Are you sure? I go, listen, guys, the smallest percentage of my business is local guys. I do this over the phone, over the internet, without any problems. If you give me accurate measurements, I'm going to get you the right fitment.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've seen some tools for that. Have you ever used one of those tools?
Yeah, I have. Honestly, it's very simple math and it's like some people get overthink it. But it's just it's basic stuff.
Well, take me through it. What do you tell somebody? Somebody wants a set of wheels. How do you tell them to measure?
Yeah, so basically the biggest thing is like if it's a car, you know, I got a database in my head that I probably should have on paper. But it's like if they – because the first thing is, okay, is it going to clear the brakes? And if someone's calling out a wild size, it's like, well, is that a stock truck? You know, and they go, yeah, I want to put 20 by 12s on it. It's like, well, that's not going to work. Well, this other guy that I saw on Instagram, they work. And I'm like, yeah buddy. It's like, you know,
that was probably a Photoshop deal, right?
You don't know all the work that's done into the truck. Also, no offense to any magazine guys here, but notorious for writing the wrong information in these articles.
Oh, yeah.
Notorious. I go, that's not a 20 by 12. That's a 20 by 10. I built those wheels. Well, it says the guy wrote the article said it's a 20 by 12.
Yeah.
And I go, okay.
And
well, because that'll teach you.
And in our defense, oftentimes we just go by what the guy writes down.
Right.
And if he either exaggerates it or writes it incorrectly, or what happened a lot of time is, you know, then we've both had this happen to us where the guy said that he built the car, right? And we don't know. We've never seen it before. And then 3 months come out, if the magazine comes out and we get this irate letter from a phone call from the previous owner that built the car and goes, did not do that.
Oh, right? I deal with that on a monthly basis with just my dad being who he was. Everybody has a Boyd Coddington.
Everybody's got a Boyd Coddington car.
Yeah,
sure.
Everybody's got a Boyd Coddington built car, and majority of time it's not.
Yeah,
it's got a set of our wheels from 20 years ago, or a steering wheel, and they, you know.
Yeah.
Or my dad signed a dash at a car show. My dad would go sign bumpers and dashes for people, and then you know. But back to the wheel thing, it's simple. It's like you measure from the mounting surface. You measure into the first obstruction and out to like the fender lip there, and you give me that, and if you're on your numbers, I can help you dial it in. I can tell if it's going to work or not. And then there's other little things involved.
I would
think
the front's more difficult because it's articulating. So,
yeah. And there's certain like rules that I kind of stick to because people dump it on me all the time. No, well, what do you think if I were to run it? I go, you should run a 9 with this. Well, I want to run a 10. What do you think? Well, once here we go. I said a 9.
Just told
and
you
and
a
I,
9.
And I tell people, if I'm picking it, I'm going to be conservative.
Yeah.
Right? Because there's you're going to be close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I tell people, how about this? Go back and double check your measurements. And then I say, hey, listen, are you cool with maybe massaging this a little bit? You know, cutting the fender up a little bit or maybe running a spacer or something. And they go, oh, yeah, okay. Oh, but a lot of people want me to make a, you know.
You make the decision
when it's not going to fit. That's not how this works. We're going to work together, and you're going to give me measurements. And
then the other half of it that I've run into in the past is I actually did this story one time where I had three different makes of tire manufacturer.
Okay.
Firestone, Goodyear, BFG, whatever it was. Dunlop was in there too. And the heights are dead on for the size. Yeah. They all were the same size. Right. They were all these tires, these three different tires were mounted on the same exact wheel with the same backspacing, but they were all three different widths.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? No, it should all be the same. And they weren't.
Well, and that's why when I tell people when they're, well, this is going to be this wide. Well, look at what because they always have the measured rim width.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll fit on between a 9 and a 10 and a half or an 11.
Right.
But the measured rim width would be like 10.
Yeah.
Right. So those specs are for that rim, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the tires, they vary. I mean, even the wheel manufacturers.
I wouldn't even think like the shoulder of the tire would change. Some of the tires are more rolled and some are more square.
It was some of them were squared off and the other ones were more rounded.
Right.
Yeah.
I got to tell you.
And it makes a huge difference. A quarter of an inch in your wheel is probably significant.
Yeah. No. You know, like I said, if I pick it, I help them. If people get the information, like we don't have a lot of problems with you know, people saying, hey, this didn't fit, right? Because I spend the time. Mm-hmm. I spend the time going back and forth with them and helping them pick it. And ultimately, if they want to try to push it, I say, okay. And then I probably don't hear back from them at that point because they're probably going, oh, man, Chris was right. Yeah, okay. We got to cut this up, you know.
Surprise.
Hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt, and I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt links on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of ARP. And we've all got stories on all that stuff.
Well, but, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
but the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope. Excellent.
And then just check them out at ARP-bolts.com. We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance. They have Modern Rodding. And my favorite, All Chevy Performance with Nick, my buddy Nick,
who's
the
editor. Oh, you're so biased.
So, correct. Yes, of course. Yes. But they're doing print media, which is, of course, our favorite. So, In color and everything. Yes. And you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, which is a fun deal.
Great tech.
By you know, not always written by me, but yeah. People. Yeah.
Not always written by me.
That's right.
Just pick it up and read it.
At InTheGarageMedia.com, and they're our friends, and they will thank you.
So I was working on a project for a company that does suspension work, and they brought in this car. I won't even say the make because then somebody might track it down. They had cut the fender well, like clipped pieces of the fender like chunks, like big, like V sections out of the fender well to create clearance for the tire at certain points, which I had never seen. I mean, literally the fender well, not the outer, but the inner fender well, huge, like somebody had like taken an X-Acto knife and just, we don't need that piece. And then it had a turbo system and the air cleaner stuck 4 inches into the fender well. And I looked at that and I went, what kind of insanity is that? So those are the kinds of things that I would think with a wheel, these are the unknown things that if that came out, you'd just tell the guy, you know, you need skinnies, you know, like something, you know, you need like a 4-inch rim and a, you know, a little, what we used to call them pizza cutter tire. You know,
right.
So, yeah, but it is amazing. You know, some of the bonehead stuff that goes on that I'm sure you've run into at times and go like, oh,
I've had my share of arguments about measuring bolt pattern. And, you know, and stuff like that. And, you know, especially when I was younger, now that I'm older, people can't go, well, how old? I'm, you know, 40 years older than you. Now it's like, you know, they don't argue too much. But when I was younger, they'd be like, nope, my 57 Chevy's 5 on 4.5. Had this thing since it was brand new. And I go, that's, well, your wheels don't fit because you should have ordered 5 on 4.75. Yeah. Nope. You're not telling me, kid.
That's right.
You're not telling me. And then next thing you know, I go, how about this? Let's just not argue. Go out and remeasure it. And I have diagrams of how to measure everything.
Sure.
He comes back. He goes, well, I'm sorry, Chris. You were right. You know? Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, unless you have the only, you know, that's the other thing, too, is when you buy a used, like, especially. I don't even, if someone says they're the second owner or first owner, I don't even care. I tell them, get me the measurements, right?
Yeah,
Because you know, because if it's not, because it could be changed. It happens all the time. Sure. All the time. Sure. Oh, it's stock. Well, is it really? Do you know that? We're dealing, especially, you know, you're dealing with cars that are 50, 60 years old now or more.
Yep.
And it's like, how many hands did they change? And, you know, some guy wanted to put a narrower end in something with stock wheel wells and. Yeah. You know, it fits.
No, all of a sudden,
but that's going to change your world. It's going to run you right. I go, hey, I know it fits on that stock, but please measure it.
We had that with a car.
Because, well, early Chevelles, you know, early Chevelles to second generation Chevelles, the width changed. The later ones got an inch wider.
Yeah.
And that so if somebody were to swap them, you can't tell it unless you measure it. So there would be a classic example of when that would be a problem.
And, you know, we do a lot of Porsche wheels too. And, you know, those cars are all hand built. Like the early, you know, all the 356s, early 911s. And I tell people, look, this is what we sell that fits. And they go, well I want to do this. Okay, give me measurements. But check every corner.
Right.
Because they can be different side to side, corner to corner.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And, you know, it's, you know, for how long it takes to build these cars, how much it costs to build them, how much it costs to build wheels. What's it take you maybe an hour out of your time to pull these measurements in your garage and give them to me? Yeah.
Countless
and then
dollars.
We're just smooth sailing. Yeah. I just let me build your wheels. And get them to you.
So I have a question for you. Obviously, there are many kind of classic designs, and I'm sure you build a lot of the same stuff that you built way back in the day. People go, I want one of those because that's what I remember on that particular car. Where do your new designs come from? Are you building new designs all the time?
Yeah, we continue. You got a design shop. They come from all angles. They come from something maybe I've been wanting to build a design.
Sure.
And let's just say
new cars.
No, I don't really want new car stuff. But
no, but I mean, do new car designs begat some kind of new design for you?
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah. Or a guy asks for that?
Sometimes that happens, but a lot of times is like tire sizes, right?
Yeah,
so tire sizes have always been the limiting factor in the wheels.
Sure.
Okay.
Once new cars come out, you know, because remember, billet wheels were, 14, 15, 16.
That's
Then, you know, then like, especially like when the OBS trucks came out, Fox Body Mustang stuff. You know, then they had to get, you know, the Gator backs coming out in 17s, and that was it.
Right.
And bigger than shit, right?
Right.
17s.
About a 15.3 TRD, was that whatever that thing was, that goofy Mustang wheel that they had. They had a 15.3.
It was a metric wheel. I think it's what it was.
Or there's been odd size like 16.5.
It's like 390 millimeters or something. It was 390 centimeters. I don't know what it was.
So yeah,
it's terrible.
Yeah, and that's what's circling back now with the OBS trucks is I'm building tri-fans in 18s, 19s, 20s, 22s for these things because the tires are available and you can fit them on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also seeing right now a big thing is 17s are phasing out because now there's a ton. Like if you look at any brand.
The 17s are going away.
The 18-inch sizes are way more than 17s right now. So if your car can fit 17s, it can fit 18s.
And 16s almost don't exist anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the only ones in existence are on my truck I have in my booth, you know? So
can get all the original sizes in 18, 19, and 20s, like Pontiac wheel. I saw a Pontiac wheel, PMD wheel, and I was like, wow, 20s. That's new. So
for an OBS truck, what's a popular wheel size for
probably
the
20
OBS?
Inch right now.
20s, really?
Probably
really?
20 inch, yeah.
And then how tall is the sidewall?
Oh, I don't know.
Right? Yeah,
I mean, it's not.
Because 20 gets pretty you thin.
You run like a 2, well, I think I'm running 295, 295.40. on the, or 35, 295, 35 on the back of my Tahoe. And I think I got 265, 35 on the front.
Okay.
And then, but 18 inch, I'm a big fan of 18 inch. I just think the trucks sit a little bit lower and they look cooler, but it's still upsized, you know, from the past.
And can you get a decent sidewall size on an 18?
Yeah. Like a 295, 40 stuffed in the back of a standard cab short bed. Nice. I think that's cool. I think that's real cool.
I only ask because I have one.
There you go. Yeah.
But you're all set. And I think it's got 17s on it, you know. And
nice.
They're dated because we put those wheels on back when we did the project, which was probably over 20 years ago.
So. Nice.
Yeah. Nice. And it'd be fun to update the thing because, you know, in Iowa, I mean, these guys go crazy because it's a California truck.
Right? Yeah.
It's like, I mean, first time I drove in Des Moines, this guy literally pulled me over.
Right.
Said, there's no rust on your truck. And I said, well, I just came out here. In fact, I think it still had California plates on it.
Really?
Plates on it. Yeah. He was like, sell me your truck right now. And I was like, no.
Did they shoot you?
No. They're nice in Iowa. People are nice in Iowa.
Yeah, so
but it's probably real popular. OBS stuff is real trucks.
Yeah, and I'm doing
a
lot of the retro series wheels.
Yeah.
So nice. A lot of the Tri-Fans and Deuce Ninjas and stuff like that.
Okay.
So we're doing with a soft lip. And so they get a little visually even 18 to 18, they'd be bigger because the center's bigger.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's cool. Right. I mean, but I'm that's doing right. a little bit of everything for those trucks. They're just popular now.
Right.
Square bodies, a lot of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
Across the C10.
So C10's what size, like, are the C10 guys?
You know what? It depends. It depends. But we're doing a lot of 20s and 22s for C10 and square body stuff.
Okay. Right.
You know? And even 24s.
You know? Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
We had a Ford Edge, like, you know what I mean? The SUV.
Yeah.
Okay. With the sport package on it, no big the wheels were 22.
Yeah.
From the factory.
Yeah.
Which was really bad when you're looking for a tire in Ohio or Kansas City or wherever.
Or Iowa.
It's like, dude, I need a set of 22s.
They're like, huh?
Factory.
Yeah.
It's a factory wheel. Yeah. It was murder to find tires for that thing. Mm-hmm. You had to like pretend that you were going to have an accident or a blowout like 2 weeks from now and then order them. And then if it didn't happen, you were good.
Right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's amazing. Just the amount of tire options now.
Yes.
As opposed to 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
But it's great. They make the cars look so good.
Yeah.
So I had a question for you. When you were working, you know, you're growing up with Boyd and all this stuff is going on. What were the cars that were significant to you? Mm. I mean, we talk about Cadzilla because that was near and dear to you.
It's just a seminal car.
Are you talking about cars that my dad built?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Probably Shazoom.
Shazoom.
The most memories with that one.
The 57.
Yes. Yeah. That was an awesome car. I got a story I've told before where, my dad.
Tell it again.
my dad goes, hey, because my dad was on this thing where people were going, hey, he makes Trailer Queens. My dad's like, I'm going to show them, right? So the infamous trip with Baskerville with Luma Coupe. And then my dad followed it up with, he said, hey, it was Gray Baskerville, Bob Bowder, and it was going to be me and my dad. He goes, hey, what are you doing? Because this was like, I think it was my it was my junior year, summer. I had nothing going on. And I'm like, well, it's just going to work, you know? Mm-hmm. And he goes, we're going to take the week off. We're going to drive through Zoom to Good Guys, Indy. Nice.
At Indy, okay. Yeah. So cross country, yeah.
So I'm, sadly enough, I'm the only surviving member of that trip because they've all passed away. But they're all characters, and just from stopping at all the super shops across because we did, that was our little thing. We had a little tour,
nice.
And then, with Bob Bowder and Gray Baskerville, there's tons of stories there. Those guys are crazy.
He's always good.
Crazy.
I remember many dangerous diner stops.
Yeah, and they were like, their whole thing was to buy like a bucket of chicken.
Yes.
And just leave it in the car and just eat it. Okay. And I was like, huh? Looking back now as an adult, like, man, that's cool.
Yeah,
that was cool. Yeah, but then I got to drive Shazoom around the Indy 500 track.
Oh, okay. That was cool. That would be cool.
So, me being 16, 17 or something like that.
And you're on the Indy 500 track, the Brickyard.
Yeah. That was rad. Yeah, that was just cool.
Yeah. That was the one that really hit it for you.
It was cool, you know.
He built a an early Corvette. So it probably would have been 50. It's that 53 to 55 style.
Yeah, which one? The yellow one or the black one?
Black one.
Yeah, yeah.
That, I mean, the first time I saw that was at the Peterson Museum.
Okay.
And he pulled in, and it was just like, it was just kind of like floating in, you know. It was just cool. It had a nice little rumble to it. But it was like, nobody does those cars. And they're ugly. Sorry, Corvette guys. Well, 50, and it was almost like the end. It was almost the end of Corvette. Let's get serious. In 55, they were about to quit making Corvettes.
Well, because they were so underpowered.
Underpowered.
Inline sixes.
And they did not sell. So typical just financial deal. They were not going to make them anymore. And 56 and 7 saved it. And so that was that. But that car was so stunning. All the things that were wrong with it from Chevrolet were right on that car.
Yeah.
And you just sat there and you go, oh my God, look at that. And look at that. Just like what Stirrup says, you know, here's all the little Easter eggs around this car. And you go like, my God, somebody had to think of that and then execute it and make it look good. Not make it look crappy. Not go the other way, but God, that was just an awesome car. Yeah.
And the biggest thing about that was the wheels and the stance of that car.
Mm-hmm. It just fixed everything.
So, I mean, that's just kind of what I was saying earlier.
I agree. You know, totally agree.
I mean, and there's a ton of, you go in the parking lot, the Spectator parking lot across the street, there's a ton of cool cars over there,
too. There are, you bet.
That guys that have the same formula, they go buy these cars. And, I mean, I got friends that just, their whole formula was forever was just buy a car, slam it, put Americans on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. With the torque thrust, like, torque thrust too. Yeah. Or center lines. And and center lines were great for airflow. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. This is like cut the airflow to zero.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But yes, I totally agree with you. Sorry for going off on a tangent there.
No.
But that car did it for me. That was like,
no, that's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Other cars. I mean,
so we'd like to thank our friends at AllAmerican.com. They make some fantastic suspension pieces, coilover shock conversions. We put one on my Chevelle. Outstanding little piece of operation.
I just did a story on an El Camino.
And on El Camino, that's right.
And it's in running a hot rod. Look at that.
Yeah. So, and then I think there's a little promo
There's a promo code, CARGUY10. So when you're online, put in CARGUY10 and you will get 10% off.
Look at that.
Awesome. Well, that's not bad.
And we don't expect you to send any part of that back to us.
No.
So I think we should really push that, right?
You know? Absolutely.
So you're on your own. Some.
You're on your own. Oh. So thanks again to AldenAmerican.com and check them out.
Right. And then you mentioned the Luma Coupe because we did. Yeah. I was the editor of Hot Rod. That's when we shot the car.
Yeah.
And Gray had so much to do with it. We were sitting in a staff meeting. I don't know if I've told this story before, but we're sitting in a staff meeting, and I've got, you know, slides that Gray has shot of the car down at the shop. And so we need to bring it up to Peterson and shoot it in the studio. And we're trying to figure out just, you know, because it was like talking with Gray, it was like, it's just not enough to do that car in the studio, just in the studio. It's, and I think he called it an Easter egg, but a classic Gray. But I think he was the one that said, well, you know, it looks like it needs to be shot on the moon. And it was like, oh dude, we got to do that. And so we talked them into painting there's that classic shot of the Earth, big blue marble. So first we were just going to rear project it, and that didn't work. So we actually had an artist come in and paint the Earth on the back wall. And then I don't know where the photographers found it, but it was this moon dirt that looked just like the moon.
Yeah.
And then we went down to my favorite place, which was Ellis Mercantile, which was a movie prop house. And Hot Rod had its own PO. We were only a car magazine that had its own purchase order. And I just call them up and say, do you have a moon suit? And they go, yeah, we do. Dude, perfect. I couldn't fit it. I wanted to fit it. I wanted to be in the shot, but I was too big for the suit. Important. And Joe Pettit got in it. So we had Joe Pettit in the thing with the flag that we had to, you know, put a rod in it so it would hold out so you could see it. And it was just so, you know, that was the kind of stuff that we did, but it was all generated by what you and your dad did, you know? And that was just, that was some fun times, you know, because, and unfortunately the whole magazine business has changed so much that they just don't do that anymore.
No. Nope.
But that was a time when we would put that kind of effort, because it took a week to paint the mural and get it all scheduled. And so we had to boot a bunch of other people out, you know, and do all this stuff. And I don't know how much that cost, but it was like, we didn't care. Cause then the other part of it was, the other part of it was I learned from Bob DeLevo was downstairs down in his office talking to him one day. This is behind the scenes stuff, but I said, you know, we tend to use your studio quite a bit, you know, and so how's this work? Because I know I'm not paying near enough. And he goes, well, he split it up among all the different magazines. And I said, but they're not using it. He goes, yeah, you're right. I said, so, I mean, do I have a limit? He goes, no, use it as much as you want.
Yeah.
And we'll get them to pay it. It was like, I'm your boy,
you know,
I used up all these people and they didn't even know it because they didn't want to, they just didn't, they did, whatever right. reason they chose not to use the studio. So we did, you know.
We used to use it a fair amount too. Not to the level that you did.
Yeah.
No, there's no way.
But
we would use it as much as we could get away with because, you know,
right.
some of the cars right. were deserving of that.
Cars that were coming out of your dad's shop yeah. deserved that. Yes. You know,
yeah,
I mean, we
sure.
did, you're just not going to stick it out there in the parking lot and shoot a picture of it. It's like,
no, that's cool.
You can't do that.
And that's something, too, that now, you know, everybody's just kind of used to this Instagram world where they just go take a picture, nice picture, nice enough, I guess mm-hmm. I should say.
Right.
But it makes you, like, you know, Randy Lorentzen's story about the Cadzilla shoot. That's yes. a cool story in yes. itself, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, you're talking
yeah.
about a budget. You're talking mm-hmm. about people putting, you know, good yeah. money behind that
right.
to make that happen. And,
sure.
Right. And that's something I think, you know.
But again, the car deserved it, you
right.
know.
And then, oh, for sure.
Then we've told this story of, you know, the battle,
dynamics, yeah.
the battle on the cover because almost didn't happen, you know. And we broke literally every rule that Peterson had on that cover, you know, not intentionally.
Right.
It was just because we're looking at it and thinking we
right.
all were talking about what angle do we? Oh, it's got to be the back of the car.
Right. Yeah.
The back of the car is just so dramatic, you know. And Randy said the same thing. He says, "Oh yeah, it's got to be the back."
Yeah.
And boy. I mean, nobody in management understood that, you know. And
right.
looking back at it, well, yeah, they're a bunch of old guys, you know. They didn't understand, but it really wasn't a custom, yet it was, and it was dark, which was
yeah.
basically
yes.
like an eggplant, but
yeah,
really
exactly.
photographed
yeah.
black.
Right. Yeah.
It was all the things that were wrong with that shot, but yet it still.
But
worked.
I mean, and how many people have that? That poster.
That poster.
How
there.
Many people
still
have that?
Yep.
Still to
yep.
this
all
day.
Or
you talk
faded,
to Rob Canaan
yes.
and you know, you ask him about, you know, because he was the editor of Hot Rod too, and you ask him what was the pinnacle point in your Peterson career? It was driving Cadzilla.
Okay.
Back
yeah.
east. Because it was also it's a museum piece. You can't really
yeah.
drive it. And
yeah.
your dad said, take it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And he
amazing.
And Steve Anderson drove it across country. Yeah.
Great. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Real cool.
Yeah.
Crazy stuff.
It's a lot of history.
Oh,
yes,
yeah. No.
Any
yes,
crazy
is.
Shop stories that come
oh,
to mind?
Oh, I don't know.
Any fire?
None that we can talk about.
No, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, there's some fun stuff that those guys were, especially back when I was a kid, you know. I mean, there's a lot of jokesters. You know, there
okay,
at the
so
shop.
We're looking for a
so
confession.
You know,
jokes. Give, us a give us a car guy confession. There you go.
Well,
all right. Tell me one.
The one thing that back in the day, to see, now everybody has their own camera, right? We all got the best camera in the world in our pockets right
yes.
now. But back then, you know, a lot of tourists would come in, but they'd have disposable cameras and stuff. And you wouldn't want to leave a disposable camera anywhere anywhere in that shop when you went to the restroom. You know,
oh
yeah,
boy.
There's some stories about people getting their, you know, because, you know, that's the thing is you get disposal camera, you take the pictures, you're on your trip, you go home,
right.
you send it out a week later. So that's maybe a month, 2 months. Oh, I'll get around to developing that. And the next yeah. thing you know, you got certain people's private parts on your on your camera roll when
and
you
here,
get home.
Here we are visiting
here we
the
are
Boyd,
Boyd
shop. Coddington shop. And that's a set of nuts.
Yeah, pretty much.
Where did that come from?
Oh, and there's Shazoom. Look at that.
Now there's the answer to the life's like, where did that photo come from? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, my mom got involved in some of those, you know, when people get pissed off, they would call her. That didn't go too well.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. That was back in the day where you can get away with that stuff.
Suitable
you know,
for hanging.
You know? But there's also, like, you know, making the news. I don't know if you guys remember the pyramid schemes that went go on back in the day.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
So your dad was involved with that, wasn't he?
Oh, all of them, like John Butera and all those guys. Yeah, they were. I was a kid, but all I know is, like, I just go, wow, they're just like talking about how much money they're making and stuff, but then it just phases out, right? Oh, you know, but they had
quickly,
the
as quickly as it went in, it came out.
Yeah because they made my dad's shop made the news when they moved over to the Monroe shop because they had a party, a pyramid party there,
yeah.
And the cops came.
Oh,
and people were jumping walls, and
I heard
a rumor that maybe Chuck Lombardo may or may not have pissed in someone's helmet, a cop's helmet. Or then also someone, there's a rumor that someone had 30 grand in cash. They shoved it. They got nervous and they shoved it in one of the cars. And, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I heard a story that somebody stole a cop car to get away.
Really?
I'm trying to remember who said that. It was somebody recent who told me that story. They actually took a car. They were dead to rights, and there was a cop car sitting there running, and they took it, and they left.
I think that might have been from that. I don't know if that was from that. There's some story wacky like stories that. Around yeah, that yeah. pyramid
and
party.
And it came from your dad's shop.
Okay.
They were leaving.
Yeah, I'm vaguely remembering this story.
You remember that story too? They took a cop car. They went like number of blocks away and got out of the car.
And bailed out.
Sure. It might have been that night.
It probably was. When you say that, I almost...
You weren't there.
No, I was not there. But it was one of those deals. It's like, wow, this stuff is going on. And these guys are, I mean, these guys, they think out of the box to begin with. Mm-hmm. So getting away.
They're high rotters.
Right. And getting out of not going to jail.
Yeah.
It just requires a little bit more thinking.
Creativity. So did they try and sucker you into it?
They did.
Oh, yeah. It was usually the ad sales guys at Peterson that wanted you to get involved with it, you know. I was smart to realize that, you know, the basic pyramid is the guy up here, he gets a lot of money. The guy at the bottom just screwed big time, you know. I'm a young guy, wet behind the ears, staffer. I'm not up here. I'm down here. I'm just helping you out, and I'm going to get screwed.
Screwed.
I don't want to be part of
it. I got screwed for $2,000. I got screwed for
really?
$2,000. And you know how I knew I was in trouble? Marlon came in behind me.
Oh, no.
I said, if Marlon's getting into this deal, it's done. Stick a fork in it.
No. So you bought into that?
I did.
Oh, shame on you, man.
Lee Kelly was like,
your friend. My friend.
My best boss ever. Oh, my God.
See, it was ad sales guys. You know, and you just never trust those guys.
It was like, you know, it's Van Cleef and Lee and all those guys. It was a whole group of guys.
Come on in. It'll be fine. Right. Yeah. Come on, jump on in. The water's fine.
Come out to the coast. Come out to the coast. We'll have a good time. Couple of laughs.
Don't worry about the sharks that are in the water.
Yeah. Don't worry about those guys that are trying to shoot you at the Nakatomi Plaza.
Oh, and then and some people got hurt. Some people got hurt.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it just eventually phases out.
Just as quickly as it comes in.
I mean, if you were started at the front of that thing, there's a lot of guys that made a lot of money.
Oh, boy, yeah.
But then by the time the people that finally drug their feet came around, then it started phasing out.
It was right behind Bernie Madoff then.
Right? Yeah.
Who had a perfect name for that whole thing, too? Madoff.
Madoff with
good
the
Lord.
Money. Yeah. You bet.
Right?
Yeah. You bet.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, been fun?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Yeah,
this has been a lot of fun and great stories.
Enjoyed the heck out of it.
Very much so.
Well, thanks a lot, guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah, hope you guys have a good show here.
Oh, yeah.
Let's come down to the shop and take a look around.
Yeah.
See what's going on.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I appreciate all your time.
Thank you.
So we want to thank our friends at ARP-Bolts.com for helping us out. We couldn't do this without them. And also our friends from the Roadster Show here to help us out, give us this little cubby hole here to shoot out of. I guess it's not really a cubby hole. It's a studio, right?
It is
today.
But it's sort of semi-undisclosed because they roughly know where we are. But it is hidden because you had to show me how to get here.
Yeah, good luck getting in.
I couldn't find it.
Better leave breadcrumbs.
I need to be there, but I don't know where it is.
That's right. Take a string.
So as often, we're having a good time. Thanks again for showing up here
and
helping us out here. And we'll just keep telling you stories.